Hi, Hester here.
And I'm Kat. Today on Dig It,
we looked at bulbs, we helped Evan, who was feeling overwhelmed with too many options. Lucy wanted to know what to do with tulips when they finish flowering. Jesper had questions about forsythia and ants. And we looked at geranium moths and frosted wisteria plants.
Today's Is It Dead Yet question came from Lauren, and there's not really a straightforward answer for her tree.
On with the show.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
It is time for Dig It. Hester's here. We are looking at summer gardens, planning beautiful, beautiful summer gardens because we want to be outside as much as possible in this summer. Hester, we are looking today at some of the things that may be a little more complicated, aren't we? What's worth the extra effort?
I would say that let's look at things that are worth the extra effort. And I don't mean like days and days and thousands of francs. I mean 10 minutes extra thinking and planning.
Oh, good. Oh, you had me worried there. I think we're going to find out today how ignorant I am when it comes to what comes from a seed and what comes from a bulb, because I honestly don't really know. And when we're talking and when we said that we were going to specifically talk about bulbs, I thought, sure.
It's good.
I've never planted a bulb ever.
Oh, ever. I'm so happy. Oh. This is awesome.
No, wait. I take that back.
You planted a daffodil once?
No.
No,
I don't
even.
Think I have. No. There was one, I got given a calla lily that flopped over and then I threw that into another pot and something grew. So actually,
there you go,
that's it. It's an indoor in a pot.
Indoor.
Okay.
There you go.
So, all right. Well, it's not my very first, but still, I think my ignorance is going to come out this morning. I would like to start with some listener questions, if we can, please.
Go for it.
Because we've got loads of them that have come in. I want to try and get through everybody. Evan has said, I'd like to grow some dahlias this year for cutting and for the garden. Can you recommend some good varieties? I'm a bit overwhelmed.
Well, yes, there are hundreds and hundreds of choices. So dahlias were kind of out of fashion, I'd say, maybe even 10 years ago. They are large, headed, summer flowering bulbs. So you plant them as these really weird sort of tubers that look like a potato with legs on. There's like a stick and then a load of little legs around. They look very weird when you buy them.
Right.
And they're kind of dangly. And the stick is last year's stem. So point it with a stick upwards and don't pull the legs off, as a client of mine once did, and throw them away because she thought they were rubbish. No, keep the legs. The legs are the tubers, and that's actually what's going to provide the power to make a flower for this coming year. And there are hundreds of them now. They're all also actually terribly, terribly fashionable, darling. Terribly fashionable.
Are they?
They are.
Are they like the viral plant?
They're viral. Very easy to photograph, so they're big on Instagram. right. And they're quite easy to grow, actually. You just need to buy good quality tubers at the start. Plant them so they don't get frosted. So either undercover or in a garage or something, or just wait till the last frost has passed and put them outside. Mm. Brilliant in pots, very, very easy. And there are hundreds and hundreds of varieties. So I would say for the garden,
yes,
they're really different things. So some of them tend to be very top heavy and they topple over and then they get dirty. So they're better in pots with a bit of support. In the garden, I would look for any of the Bishop series. So there's Bishop of Llandaff, there's Bishop of Winchester, there's Bishop of lots of things. And they're very sturdy stems, beautiful dark kind of purpley reddish leaves. So they're very, very attractive leaves, even without the flowers, and very strong colour. Llandaff is actually my favourite. It's a gorgeous red and I would put it everywhere.
So what's it got? Stunning. It
sounded Bishop like of Llandaff, LLANDFF, the Welsh cathedral town.
Oh, thank you. Okay. It sounded like, I thought you said Gandalf then for a moment.
Bishop
That's how
Gandalf.
I'm going to remember it.
Yeah. Bishop of Gandalf's very nice. And I'd say for pots, I would actually, I'd definitely plant café au lait because it just makes my heart beat every time I see it. And it's beautiful. It's kind of a creamy pink, multi-petaled, cuts brilliantly for vases, really, really, really well. I'd also have a little sneaky look at Sarah Raven, who's a British plants woman. I'd have a little sneaky look at her website for inspiration. She has some really beautiful ones. And having gone to a dahlia festival in Holland, and they said, what she picks is what is popular in the next 5 years. No. I'd have a look at what she's doing. So at the moment, she's talking about one called Soul Man, one called Happy Single Romeo, and one called Tamburo. But you can either buy them direct from her, or you can just look and use it as a reference point and then buy them in the shops.
I bet she's got an Instagram page as well.
I bet she has, and it's gorgeous. Oh,
All right, let's move on and have a look at Lucy's question. What do I do with tulips when they've finished flowering?
It's a good question. So if they're in the garden, like in a border, just leave them. Just leave them to be. They'll finish photosynthesizing and they should come up next year.
Cool.
Some of the really big flowered Darwin hybrids don't always. But, you know, if four come up out of eight, well, fine. And then if they don't come up next year, dig them up. But I would say if they're in a bowl, just leave them. They'll be absolutely fine. If they're in a pot and you need the pot, which does sometimes happen, and you've got a bit of garden to put them in, just stuff them in the garden somewhere sunny. They'll be absolutely fine. And then put new ones in, which is very exciting. If you don't have anywhere to put them and you don't need the pot, just put the pot out of sight somewhere. They'll be absolutely fine. Make sure they get a bit of water. So, you know, behind a shed or anywhere else is absolutely fine.
Lovely. All right, Hester, stick around. We've got lots of questions coming in. We'll try our best to get through them all. You are listening to Dig It here on WRS.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre.
We are looking at summer flowers and I'm asking today the joyous question, what colour flowers can you get from summer bulbs? I've got a message in from Gudrun saying, is that a trick question? And sort of, yes, because Gudrun says, I thought it was all sorts of colours. If I'd have to pick one, I'd go for pink. But yeah, it kind of is a little bit of a trick question, isn't it, Hester?
A little bit.
Because the answer's just all of them. And basically send us in a colour and you've gone into the draw. We've got this lovely prize to give away from Shilliger Garden Centre. It's a composition of flowers and also some summer bulbs. So it's basically two prizes, one lucky winner. I have been told that this prize will actually be so fresh in terms of the lovely composition that they're going to make for us that whoever wins this today, it'd be great if you could pick it up tomorrow or Saturday because it's going to be really fresh and beautiful. So,
and if you can't, I can get it I will keep it.
Yes, that's it, isn't it? If you go over there,
it's not coming out though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hester, question for you. How many days a week is Shilliger open at the moment?
I think it's seven, isn't it?
It is indeed 7 days Woo-hoo! A week. Yes, they would like to mention 7 days a week until early June. In fact, so right the way throughout spring, you can go there on a Sunday and make sure your garden's all lovely. So that's something to do this weekend. Let's crack on with some more questions because we've got so many coming in. We've got Jesper, who says, the forsythia in the garden have just finished flowering. They flowered well, but the shrubs are a hopeless shape. Is now, post-flowering, a good time to prune and reshape for next year?
Ooh, yeah, get in there, choppy, choppy. And you can be as brutal as you like right now. They're very, very resistant. Try and go for an open shape with maybe 5 dominant branches and ditch the rest.
Also, though, Jesper says, ants. We've got a general problem, but specifically for our fruit trees and bushes, the apple trees, plum trees and the gooseberry bushes, sounds like quite a collection, are colonised by ants for their lice farms?
They sort of farm aphids. It's a bit grim, actually.
That sounds
disgusting. They protect the aphids from attack from other things and milk the honeydew, which is their excreta, which is very high in sugars, particularly at this time of year, and eat it.
So the question here is, have you got any advice other than evil chemicals and or washing every last blade with dishwashing liquid?
I have two suggestions for you. One is sticky bands on the trunks of the trees so that ants get stuck to them and they can't make their way up into the canopy. And the other thing is invest in some ladybirds. Ladybirds are voracious predators of aphids.
You can just order those, can't you?
You can. And they're brilliant. They arrive looking like, I don't know, little things, maybe sort of woodlice, but I swear they really are ladybirds. Do it.
Got a question that has come in from Jean. It just says, is this a weed?
I can't tell.
Okay, all right.
I think it's a sort of a dandelion.
We'll have to have a look at that one a little bit later because it does need you to be able to zoom in and see the picture a little bit better than I'm showing it to you. We've got a question from Lauren, which is very much an is it dead yet question, which is one of our faves. Lauren says, our favourite tree in our garden has many dead branches, about half the tree. It seems to have started to die about 6 months after the big storm in the area in June 2019. It's slowly getting worse. Do we need to cut it down or can we save it? And also, can you talk us through, Hester, the scarification and weeding process?
Oh, two questions in one.
What comes first in order to get my lawn looking lovely again? I'm going to start you off with the tree.
Look at the tree.
So you've seen this.
It looks all right. I can't really see where their dead bits are, Lauren, but you might want to send us a better picture. I would say have an arborist look at it. If you're in Switzerland, get somebody who's a member of the Association des Arbres des Soins, ASSA.ch, who are very good. If you want want to send us an email, tell me where you are, I can suggest somebody that will come out and have a look at it for you. I don't think it's a chopping down job. I think it's a little bit of judicious pruning.
Okay, that's good to know. And then about Lauren's second question.
The scarification question.
Indeed, yeah.
So scarification is used to bring up what's called thatch, which is all the old chopped up bits of blades of grass and any moss or any kind of detritus that's fallen in between the layers of the lines of the blades of grass. It's also used very commonly to pull up moss when you've applied a moss killer. And they're little machines. You can rent them. I certainly wouldn't use a hand one because it's exhausting and it's very heavy. So I would rent one, and it will leave your grass looking stripped and you'll think, what did we do? Don't panic. Then you need to overseed on top of it, or possibly reseed huge sections of it. So I would invest in some seed at the same time as you rent your scarifier.
Lovely. We've got a couple of questions. I'm going to sort of throw these into one a little bit because they're about geraniums and butterflies or moths.
Oh, dear.
Get
yes.
ready for this.
Okay.
So this is a question that we had from Carol, who says, I want your advice about geraniums. I usually have many tubs and window boxes, about 20 of them. They were badly hit last year by what I learned from you, Hester, was a geranium moth. Is it still worth planting geraniums? Can the moth be kept at bay with an insecticide? And which one? Can you suggest a robust, inexpensive and long-lasting alternative?
That's a great question. So I would say if you would like to replant geraniums, there's kind of a three-pronged strategy you can use. The first is put in some traps. And you can buy them all over the place specifically for geranium moth stroke butterfly. So it means that either the males are attracted to because they think it's a female in there, or the female's attracted, yeah. So that means that you stop or reduce the new populations. And I would also think about getting some nematodes, which are these little microscopic bugs, the Bacillus thuringiensis is this one specifically, which will treat them. So it will kill the larvae. I'd also think about maybe buying some lacewings. It's a bit like we were talking about, you can buy ladybugs, you can buy lacewings, and you can certainly also create bug houses to help keep lacewings. But you can buy lacewings, crisup they're called in French.
So that's a predator.
It's a predator, massive predator of the little caterpillars.
So this goes on to Hillary's question that says, last year our lovely geranium collection was overwhelmed with a geranium bronze butterfly. We had to destroy them all. We noticed a very cute tiny butterfly and didn't realise what it was doing. Is there any remedy for this pest? I think that we might have just answered that.
I think
that's the same question. But then also Hillary says, what could we fill our many pots with instead?
Well, so I'm guessing if there are geraniums, they're probably in sun. And in a fairly dry position. So you could look at maybe zinnias or salvias. They both do really, really well. Osteospermums is another one, which have these wonderful kind of whirligig flowers and really strong colours as well. Diaceas do very well. Or you could maybe think of some of the combinations like, I don't know, a phormium, which is one of those beautiful New Zealand flaxes, an echinacea and a begonia together would look absolutely stunning. I'd say go and have a look on the Gardeners World website, which is a British BBC website for hot pot combinations, and you'll get some brilliant recipes, which is, you know, you need one of these or one of these and one of these. Go out and go shopping. I think I would skip the geraniums for this year.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre.
Hester, question for you. Are all bulbs perennials? Will they just keep coming every year?
Well, yes, sort of. As in, they are from where they come from.
Okay, so it has to be in the right climate for it.
Yeah.
What does it do? Is it temperature? Is it humidity?
Bit of both. So some things, like dahlias would be a really good example. If I planted them in the soil in my garden, they would just go to mush over the winter.
Okay.
Because I'm on heavy clay, it's cold, and they wouldn't survive. However, if they, you know, were in South Africa, they'd be absolutely fine. They wouldn't need to be dug up.
So what would survive best here? What is something that's relatively local, native even, to this region?
Well,
are there any?
Martigan lilies.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so martigan lilies. I'm trying to avoid lilies because of cats. Martigan lilies will do. I would try cocosmias, actually. I've had them in my garden here on very heavy clay for a few years, and I have a client who has them as well, and they're just massive. So cocosmias are another Cape native, and they have these long sprays of beautiful reds, orange and yellow flowers, and they're very, very hardy. Nice kind of interesting strap-like leaves. They do well in pots as well, and they're very easy. Literally put them in, stuff them in, and never ever touch them again, which I really like.
What's a good advantage to having bulbs? I mean, they're pretty hardy.
They are.
Aren't they?
Lots of colour. I mean, they really are a very effective way of popping a bit of really strong colour into a border for a period where maybe you don't have a lot else going on. They're great for pots because actually they don't need as much water as annuals do on
nice.
The whole, and they don't need as much maintaining and faffing over either. So for a lazy gardener like me, they're brilliant.
However, disadvantages, the things that do make them a little
you
bit
might
more
have
complicated.
To dig them up in the autumn. So what I tend to do is put them in pots and then just drag the entire pot into the garage.
Nice if you've got the space to store them. So can you talk us through some of your recommendations?
So just mentioned Crocosmia. I would also say have a look at some gladiolus. And I know that everyone thinks of Dame Edna when they think of glads, but actually some really super colours out there, and they're very easy. Really put them in and forget about them, and you can overplant on top of them with annuals as well if you want kind of double pop of colour, and they're really easy. They just kind of get on with it. I love dahlias, which we were talking about earlier. I like lilies as well, but only if you don't have cats, because the pollen is toxic for them.
I think
the entire thing is toxic for cats. Agapanthus. I love agapanthus. It's another Cape native. Gorgeous. Blue, pale blue, purple, a few pinks in the flowers as well. And they come as this kind of tangled mass of just, they look like roots, which they mostly are. And there's a little kind of central corm in the middle. Just plant it up. So mine actually, are when I brought them into the garage, they're still bright green. The leaves never kind of went away because obviously it never got that cold. But you can equally dig them up and overwinter them elsewhere.
Is it just a general thing that you can say, sweeping statement, you can put all bulbs in the ground now in April?
Well, no. You can't, because you should. Some of them are very frost sensitive, like dahlias would be a good example, and acapanthus. And if they get frosted, they will die, particularly if they've sent a few little shoots up. So I would put them in pots. Now, if you then want to put them, the pots then in the ground afterwards, I would put them in some of the mesh plastic pots that you can then just dig a little hole and put the whole pot into the ground. And
nice.
Then the roots will just grow through the gaps.
Yep.
Or like I do, and I use this technique a lot in gardens that I design, I intend to then put the pots, quite tall ones, into the border. So you get the height of the pot and then the plants on the top, and you kind of cheat with the height. And so you can just see them that little bit better above the kind of other summer flowering perennials.
If I am taking your advice today and planting any of these bulbs, when can I expect to see flowers?
From sort of June onwards, June, July time, which is pretty nice. I think that's right. If you went out today and went crazy and bought a load of beautiful new bulbs, potted them up today and kept them kind of carefully, and then you were able to put them out as soon as the last frost is past, which is sort of mid-May, you'll start seeing flowers a month or so afterwards.
I am thinking about it.
Go for it. You know you want to.
Excellent. We've got another couple of questions that I'm going to throw towards you, Hester. This one is a question about a wisteria, if I can find it nice and quickly. This one came in because we're just talking about frost, so it sort of reminds me. This one came in from Kate, and it says, I've got a question for Hester. We have a magnificent wisteria against the house. It was on the verge of flowering last week. It got frazzled by heavy frost.
Yeah.
All the flowers are dead. Will it be okay? Should I remove the dead flowers, or should I just leave it now?
I would just leave it. The plant will pop them off itself. It will make more growth. Plants are way smarter than us.
So it'll just sort itself out.
Yeah, just leave it. It'll be fine. I'd say give it a bit of a feed. Give it a bit of help, because it's already expended a certain amount of energy to make these flowers that then got frosted. But you'll get more.
That's amazing. And a quick one then for an olive plant from James. Can you advise for my olive plant? This is the second year. All the leaf tips have gone brown at this time of year. The plant's outside in summer. I brought it in for the winter. It sits by the kitchen by a full size window. And last year, the new growth didn't go brown. But this year it did. I've Googled it. Can't find the answer. So,
I think it's suffering a bit from dryness. It's actually quite warm at the moment.
Oh,
I would not bring an olive tree indoors. I would leave it outdoors and I would wrap it. Bubble wrap the base and wrap the top, and I think it'll be fine.
There's just another little extra sub question there. My concern is that over winter I water it with our tap water, which is softened, and it can be salty at times. Is that going to have an effect on it?
It might do. It might be stopping the uptake. I would collect some rainwater.
Okay. Well, that's free. I like that. Put a bucket outside.
Yeah.
Hester, thanks very much. Stay with us.
Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
You've had a little bit more time to look at Jean's picture with the question, is this a weed? Do you have an answer for Jean now?
I think it might be a sort of a poppy. So I would wait and see. If it flowers, hooray, it's a poppy. And if it's not, then it's a weed, dig it up, throw away.
But it might be the easiest poppy that you've got. So yeah, just leave it and see. Absolutely. For the moment. Looking at bulbs in summer gardens, I would like to know if there's anything that, in your opinion, is just absolutely outstanding. Something that you think.
So I really like cannas. Cannas are huge, very tall, about 2 metres tall. Really impactful. You often see them in public plantings and they come in kind of reds, oranges and yellows. Really interesting just for the leaves themselves. They have these a lot of very interesting kind of orange, red, stripy leaves, orange and green. There's one called Durban that I really like. And they're just so extraordinary. Plant them and you will look, watch it grow for the whole summer thinking, wow, you look amazing.
Oh,
I love them. I think they're brilliant.
Something that you can watch. There's also this, was it a pineapple?
Pineapple lily.
Lily.
Yeah, Euchomys. They're fabulous. They flower over a really long time. And the flower pot, the top section, looks exactly like a pineapple. So that it's exactly that same kind of weird, spiky, different colours. And they're not the most brightly coloured. They're kind of greeny white or you know, peachy cream kind of colours. They're not very strong colours. But they're very, very pretty, nice leaves. And they are also kind of one of those interesting things that you plant to think, well, you're nice. I like you.
I'll keep you around.
I'll keep you around, yeah.
We're asking today, what colour flowers can you have from summer bulbs? This is to get into our competition, by the way, and lots of you have been answering us, thinking that this is a trick question. I guess it pretty much sort of is a little trick question. But we've got lots of your answers coming in, and all of them are correct. This is to get into the draw for a lovely, fresh garden composition from Schilliger, and also they're going to give us a bag of bulbs too. So you walk away with something really fresh and beautiful, and also some bulbs that you can then plant, and then they will last you the summer. So something for now and then also something for later. Thank you so much to Schilliger. I will say as well, they are open at the moment 7 days a week through to the beginning of June. So that's pretty amazing if you are looking at getting your garden sorted this spring. That is over in Gland. And thank you so much to them for the prize. But we've been asking about, what colour flowers can you have from summer bulbs? We've got Hilary who says, I suggest bronze.
Oh, that's a good one.
What flowers can you get?
Dahlias come in bronze. Very pretty.
Lauren says magenta. We've got Sarah who says, spring bulbs come in all colours. My favourites are white and pink. And then Anne says, I think that summer bulbs come in all colours? Question mark. Red? Question mark. And then says, yes. I'll plant my dahlias today. And so lots of you just answering with lots of your different favourite colours. And yes, any answer will do. Is it quite literally any colour?
Yes, even black, actually, because calla lilies can come in that sort of deep, deep, all purple, almost black colour.
Oh, wow.
They're pretty stunning.
I like a gothic flower.
Yeah.
I quite enjoy that. Hester, thanks so much for answering our questions all about bulbs and gardens. What would you recommend that we get out to the garden and do today?
I would say get a bit of weeding going, because they will be being prolific right now. And if you don't have a Fisker's weed puller, which is like a stick with a plunger, a kind of grabby hand on the end of it, get yourself one, because they're fantastic for digging up dandelions.
Top tip, is it true that I can just pour boiling water over weeds and that will take
it
out the roots?
It does work, particularly in gravel or on a terrace. Yeah, it works really well.
There's some top tips right there. Hester, thanks for joining us for Dig It.
Thank you.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
This episode of Dig It was recorded at the WRS Studios in Geneva, Switzerland, and brought to you by Schilliger Garden Centre. Their Gland store is open 7 days a week this spring until June the 6th. If you have gardening questions for our next episode, send them in now. Studio@worldradio.ch.